Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, Isaiah. Thank you so much as you do each and every morning introducing this show to our 4,940 listeners. We'll probably crack 41,000 this week. I said that we would crack it before the new year. We're going to crack it this week. And, hey, this is Listener Supported Radio. You're listening to Home Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. And this week, next week, and the week after, as we're closing out the year, as the edges of the year come to meet, we're celebrating the life of Brother George Sabir, who transitioned and became an ancestor back in December of 2010. And, you know, we really miss Brother George, working on a project right now that he inspired me to go ahead and do something that he was working on, and it's put my own little finishing touches on it, you know, looking to really get it going good and take it nationwide. We're doing it here in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, called the Young Adult Business Builders Academy. And, you know, as we get through some of these shows this week, next week, the following week, you know, we'll be giving you more and more information about that. We want to get started early this morning without a lot of commentary. Me start off with playing a little bit more of an interview that I did with George back in 2010, again, to set the backdrop, probably cover a couple points out of his book, Black Folks Guide to Making Big Money in America, this morning also. We'll be doing a lot on the book tomorrow and Friday, but I did want to share, you know, clips of excerpts from the interview that was done back in 2010. And the more I listen to it, you know, the more relevant it becomes every day. Also, you know, when you have a person in your list, a lot of times, you know, we underutilize them. And Brother George was one of those such people. I mean, a very giving and caring person. You know, hey, you know, I'm just want to put the information out there so that our community can collectively benefit from it as we head into the 2012 Kwanzaa season and the issues that are pertinent in the African-American community and issues that we need to tackle. So hold on, I'm going to bring up a clip from the interview that was done in 2010. Play about 10, 15 minutes of that and spend the last, like, 10 minutes going through chapter What is Wealth from Black Folks Guide to Making Big Money in America. So hold on. So I want to help my people, and you know, sort of like that, like almost like a psychological catch 22.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, again, it goes to the fact that we're still trying to figure this whole thing out, and the thing that I think would help a lot is if we concentrated on what I think is more important than money, which is power. You know, the single thing that bothers me more than anything else as I look at our situation today is that we talk about everything except power. You know, when we talked about black power in the 60s, what we basically meant was the ability to implement Coochie Chocolate, to make determinations about what we are going to do because this is what we've decided and we have the power to do it. But today, people talk about race relations. I mean, they've always talked about race relations, but today it's all about getting along. Well, as long as you let white people stay in control of most of the important things going on in their society, you know, they won't have much of a problem with getting along with you. But when you want to get to a point where you want to control some decisions, important decisions about things, then that's when they have a problem And that's when you notice that race becomes a factor. So if we as a people said that ability to make decisions that's in the highest benefit of our people is more important than anything else, including money, then I think we would be on a better path than if you just said, let's figure out how we as a people can make the most money that we possibly can. Because based on the model that we're being shown, you know, the common man knows, well, the best way to make money is to come up with something that you can sell, go over to China and get them to make it, and come back here and sell it for four or five times what it costs you to get it made based on the low wages that they pay their people, as opposed to finding good jobs for our people here. So if that was the basis only of making money, you know, we wouldn't necessarily be helping our own people because we couldn't help them get any additional jobs if we were figuring out how to get it done at the lowest possible rate. My brother is in the construction field, and he says, you know, how many black workers do you have on this project or that project? Well, yeah, that might be important for black people, but from a contractor's point of view, he probably wants to know how many Mexicans you have on the project. Because from his point of view, Mexicans work harder, they're better at what they do, and they certainly come in cheaper. And if he can do a multi-million-dollar project and save all that money, then he's going to make the most profit. So anyway, it's a constant battle between even figuring out in some people's minds what the highest priority should be. And it makes for a lot of craziness that you see going on out there.
Right, right, yeah. When I was in New Orleans right after Katrina, I remember a friend of mine who was working at a place, and one of the black people complained, you know, and the owner told him, he says, well, if you don't like what's going on, you can quit, he said, because I can hire two Mexicans for the price of one of you.
Right.
And, you know, that was like, you know, obviously that was, you know, that was that. I mean, the guy was, you know, he was perturbed, but I said, okay, well, you know, he's looking at his bottom line, and, you know, and again, as you said, it gets back to the question of power. You know, how do we position ourselves to have power that we can do the things that we want to do? Hey, we're down to 20 minutes left, and I did want you to, before we go into your project that that you're currently doing, if you could take about, you know, about 5 minutes and cover the, because there were some, you know, attempts by black people in terms of this network marketing piece, such as, like I said, Tony Brown had a piece, Nation of Islam had the power products, and then we had Mata. You know, we're taking about 5 minutes. So what were some of the strengths and some of the weaknesses of those programs, and why you felt that they died out?
Well, there's one person that always gets left out of the discussion of that, and he's a good friend of mine. He doesn't seek a lot of publicity, but I like to give credit where credit is due. But way before there was Mata, there was an organization called The Deal, D-E-A-L.
Hmm.
And The Deal predated Mata with the same basic concept. It was run by a brother named Lee Green, and he was based out of Washington, D.C., and Lee Green was the point person when the Black Expo used to come to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Lee Green was the main person that worked with the Black Expo officials to make a successful Washington, D.C. Black Expo. And he had a company called The Deal, and The Deal was very similar to Mata in the sense that he would identify black people that had things for sale, whether it be books or creams, powders, whatever, and you would buy them from The Deal, and then The Deal would then pay X amount of dollars override for what you sold based on the size of the organization that you built. And he ran into a problem that Mata ran into later, which was several. Number one, supply. If a product became popular, and instead of ordering 20, you wanted to order 200, could the person supply it? Or would you have to say that's on back order? And were you ever told a distributor it's on back order, the first thing that the distributor would want to know was, well, when will you have it in stock? And if you couldn't give them an answer, then that means they couldn't give the person that wanted to buy at retail an answer, and it would just smack of typical, so-called typical black business and not having your ducks lined up in a row. So that was one problem. Can your suppliers give a consistent quality and consistent numbers as was requested? So that was one problem. Another problem was pricing. You know, Mata was small business, and whenever you had small business, whatever was being manufactured was manufactured on a small scale, and just sheer manufacturing arithmetic said that when you manufacture something on a small scale, it's going to cost you more per item than if you were to get several thousand or 10,000 manufactured at the same time. So none of the people that we were working with manufactured anything in lots of 5 or 10,000. And so therefore the cost per product was high, particularly if there was something to compare it to in a dollar store or supermarket or any other kind of major store. You're talking about washing laundry detergent, for example. Our laundry detergent, you know, may cost twice as much as what it would cost in a supermarket, and then you would have to turn around and pay shipping to that laundry detergent from the warehouse to wherever you live, which means by the time it got to you, you paid, you know, $12 for something that you could have got in the supermarket for $4, and plus you still wasn't sure whether what you paid $12 for was even as good as what you would have gotten had you paid $4. So questions about quality, questions about pricing, shipping charges, all those were factors that made it difficult for people to make a strong emotional commitment to the things that Mata was selling, because, of course, you can't get a strong commitment if you don't have a strong economic base to operate from to begin with. And then on top of that, you had the pay scale for the compensation for successfully building a distribution organization. I had, like you said, in that piece, 1,700 people. Of those 1,700 people, only a small number took the time to actually sell any of the products. And the fact that the company was only paying a 5% override meant that at best you were only going to get, you know, 5 pennies for every dollar that your organization sold. So if your organization sold $1,000 worth of product, which is something that you could feel good about, you know, you're only going to get $50 of that, and you can't do so much with $50. So you have to be in the tens of thousands of dollars in order to get a check that you could say, you know, pay a car note with or pay your mortgage with. And we just was not a big enough organization to sell, you know, $10,000, $20,000 worth of product, you know, at that time. So some of these were the problems with Mata. And I'm not saying that, you know, it couldn't have been improved, but the leaders of Mata were not that open to listening to other people's advice. They both had MBA degrees from Ivy League University, and they had a lot of experience in both network marketing as well as other kinds of business, and it would be difficult for them to really, you know, pay attention to ad hoc suggestions from the field. They thought their decisions they were making were the best to be made, and so the organization went along accordingly. And as some of your listeners might know, one of our main leaders was shot and killed by the Washington, D.C. sniper, and from that point on, the organization took a nosedive and eventually, for all practical purposes, it's been out of business for a few years now.
Hey. Hey. All right. Okay. Wow. Just such tremendous history lesson, as I said, and I just read. So I'm listening to this with you in terms of the interview that was done back in 2010. And wow, I still have some more parts of that interview left, and I'll share those other parts next week, because we do want to get information out in terms of the book. But I did want to make sure that, you know, it's just good hearing Brother George's voice again, you know. So, yeah, I know I have responsibility for doing the show and all of that, but you know, at the same time, you know, when you have someone that you know, is a comrade of yours, a brother, a friend, you know, I'm glad that I saved that interview. You know, something I cherish, and I think about conversations and dialogues that we had that are not on tape. And, you know, the thing is because we are responsible for providing answers and ideas and solutions as we push forth for each generation. I have a 60th birthday coming up this year, December the 18th, you know, and I know in pushing on that other side, you know, I pray. That is, Shaka Musa Barashango used to always say, that we're supposed to get 120 years. Bottom line, if we're supposed to get. I'm asking every day, God, you know, hey, I want mine, please, let me see it. And let me see it healthy. Let me see it with a sharp mind, like Dr. John Henry Clark and other people. Because I do believe that if we take our best minds and work hard, that we can really provide something for the next generation and for generations to come, and help people as we go through this sojourn of being Africans in America, being brought here against our will. Some people say, well, don't bring all of that out. I don't want to talk about all of that. I'm going to be nice this morning. You know, how else did we get here? You know, we didn't jump off the good ship lollipop. But anyway, let me shift, as my pastor would say in church. Let me shift, get into some of the book this morning. Hopefully you got something out of listening to that interview, and, you know, we'll pick up on some of that again tomorrow. Not the interview, but some of the points that he covered, because I am a big believer in network marketing. George was a big believer in network marketing, and you know, he helped me a lot with understanding how to best cash in on my network marketing business. Okay, hey, we want to take a few minutes and go into this thing, this chapter, What is Wealth? And, you know, we did mention one of the points yesterday, wealth is related to the total net cash flow. Coming in per week, per month, or per year, cash flow is a very important thing. You know, you had a person come in and do a workshop recently from Small Business Administration, and he said, you know, the key to business is how many deposits did you make today? How many deposits did you make today? Cash flow. Next, wealth is related to immediate access to cash. See, how fast can you access the cash? Wealth is the ability to be able to respond to emergencies and opportunities. I don't care how much money the doctor, lawyer, dentist makes, nor where he lives, how his home is furnished, nor what kind of car he or she drives. They cannot raise the quick money needed to take care of life's most critical moments. They are not wealthy. to, you know, how fast can you access what you need? Wealth is related, number three, wealth is related to one's total borrowing capacity. You know, borrowing, you know, hey, again, quick access. How fast can you put your hands on money? How fast can you do you have things that are assets that you can liquidate to give you the cash that you need to do what you need to do? See, and in a lot of cases in our community, only quick access people have, somebody else in their family they can go try to go to them, beg and borrow from. But what do you have that you can liquidate? Or in some cases in our community, people that deal with the pawn shops. And I hate those places. You know, because one, you got some people that, you know, legitimately pawn something, you know, that's their last resort to get them some money to take care of something they need and then try to come up with the money to go get it back out of pawn shop, out of hop. Most cases, they lose it. The pawn shop sells it and they make a deal. Or in some cases, you got people to break into people's homes and steal stuff and go pawn it and make their money that way. You know, I mean, that's one of the things that the drug crack did in our community. You saw through crack, you saw pawn shops be able to really load up a lot of inventory. So, you know, the ability, again, to deal with that, that borrowing power. Wealth is also total net worth. What is your net worth? Let's see, your net worth. What is your net worth? What is net worth? Assets minus liabilities. Or asset value minus debt value. You know, what do you have? What are your debts? You know, you add one up in one column, your assets. You add your debts in the other, subtract the two, and they tell you what you're worth. Most of us have a negative net worth. We owe more than we have coming in. Negative net worth. It's your asset value. Well, our debts are usually higher than what we own. So we end up with a negative net worth. You know, wealth is related to not only net worth, but related to one's home environment. Ooh, this is a powerful one here. One's home environment. You know, I do a lot of community work, and I dare say some people, homes that I go to, Lord have mercy. You know, you wonder why things are off the chain in our community. Just look at people's lifestyles. And now with the power of the internet and other stuff, I mean, you know, I look at what people post on Facebook. I call it, you know, in most cases, the gossip page. You want to know who's doing who, who's doing what? Because you got people that post that stuff. I mean, some things don't need to be on Facebook, y'all. Some of y'all did listen. Some things don't need to be on Facebook. You know, I'm just being honest with y'all. You don't need, you know, your boyfriend cheated on you. And whatever, you don't need to put that all over Facebook. You don't need to be putting on Facebook, you know, I got disappointed last night when I got drunk. Once I had me a good time, I met this guy at the club. Shoot, I went on home and let it hang, girl. You know, I mean, I'm just shocked at the kind of stuff that people posting it. But again, what George talks about here, he says wealth is related to one's home environment. What kind of environment you live in? And you wonder why you broke. You wonder why you got negative things going on in your life. At the same time, for those of us that are positive, people say, you know, you must be a goody two-shoe. I just don't post problems that I have on social media. At least I don't have issues and stuff that I have to deal with in terms of my family. You know, I don't have same kind of trauma drama that other people have. You know, we get dual instances in time. It's not necessarily between me and my wife, but, you know, children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, other family members, but I ain't posting that. I ain't posting those issues on Facebook. But your home environment. I walk in your house, spend 5 minutes in your house, look at the pictures you got on the wall, get books if you got any, how your house is organized, designed, or whatever, and I know a lot about you. Your home environment. We don't have a lot of company in our home, but when people do come by and they look on the refrigerator and they see affirmations, they go in the bathroom. In our bathroom, they see affirmations, they see pictures and all kind of different posters and stuff up on the wall, goals and over. And then you have people say, y'all believe in all of that stuff. People look at my library and they say, wow, you read all of them books, your head don't hurt. I'm just telling you, home environment has a big influence. Wealth is related to lifestyle. Ooh, another powerful one. Lifestyle. Lifestyle. I never forget one time a friend of mine called me up. Said, hey, bro, what's happening? Said, hey, man, how you doing? You know, it's kind of late, man. What you calling? What's going on? I just called, man. I said, you feel like coming out? Coming out to do what, man? It's 11:30 at night. I'm going to go to the strip club. You call me about going to the strip club for? You know I'm married. I just thought maybe, you know, you need to get away for a while. For what? You lost your mind? You need to call somebody else, you know. Lifestyle. You know, lifestyle. What is your lifestyle? Lifestyle issues has a big thing to do with wealth, you know. If you got, you know, one of them lifestyles that just ain't, you know, ain't going in the right direction, then you wonder why you broke. You wonder why you're not able to build something that can leave an inheritance for your children's children. Because you're good timing it. Wealth is related to leisure time. That's a powerful one. Powerful one. Because, you know, me and my wife, we're self-employed. We run our own business, and we're looking to build even a bigger business, and we have impact, a lot of people. So we also have a lot of leisure time. For the most part, we pick and choose. Where we're going to go, when we're going to go, and what we're going to do. I do not have a boss. Do not have a job. If I want to sleep in, I can sleep in. See, isn't this nice when you can keep sleep till you're ready to get up? Then you know what that feels like. Sleep until you're ready to get up. I do the show early in the morning because, see, I normally wake up about 5 in the morning anyway. But, you know, other than this, at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, this is a standard format because it's just part of my life. And then when I finish the show in the morning at 9, at 9:30, depending on what I got structured for the day, I have a choice. If I'm tired, I go lay back down. If I got something I need to work on and get done, I structure where, you know, I plan my day each day. This morning when I finish up, I'm going to grab a little something to eat. Got a few calls to make, and I'm going to lay back down to about 11:30, 12 o'clock. Then I get up, get myself organized, cleaned up. I got somewhere to be around 1:30. Got a couple assignments I need to complete and work on. These are self-imposed assignments. Then around 4 o'clock, I'm going to go work with some children today from 4 to 7. Come back in. On 7:15, 7:30, be making some calls in my travel business till like about 11 o'clock tonight. And then around 11:30, me and my wife are sitting talking, recap today, had the rest of our evening, and don't have to be up till like about 8:30 tomorrow morning, a half hour before showtime. I already got my notes written out for tomorrow's show. Leisure time. Wealth is related to leisure time. Hey, I'm going to, tomorrow, I'm going to make sure that we're going to get through the rest of this chapter on what is wealth. We also will tackle tomorrow not only what is wealth, but we also will go over common characteristics of fortune builders. What is wealth? Common characteristics of fortune builders. We'll cover that. I definitely want to make sure, I don't know if we'll squeeze that in tomorrow. I have to deal with that Friday. 12 things holding black people into poverty. What's holding black people into poverty? Probably be able to do that on Friday. What's holding black people into poverty? And the action plan. And then the rest, you know, I would give you some information on where you can still be able to find the book, or if you're not able to find it, I have a lot of notes from the book, my own self-study manual from all of George's books that I put together. And, you know, I'll tell you how you'll be able to access that and get that. But, hey, this has been, so far it's been really a lot of fun this week, just reliving the life and times of George Sevier. And, hey, I want to thank you for tuning in this morning. It's been Baba Jackie here on Home Base Business 101, and God willing, the creek don't rise. My grandmother would say, hey, I'll be back at you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will do a lot more book content tomorrow and Friday. Any other aspects of the interview that I did with George, because I got another one, too, that I did. About three good interviews with him that I saved on MP3 format. And, you know, we'll talk about that also for those that might want access to that information, how you can get a copy. But I really enjoyed this morning. And, again, you know, hey, missing my brother. And close out with a libation to George. All praise is due to the black ancestors. As our beginning was good, so shall our development throughout eternity be good. If we dare struggle, speak truth, and walk in the way of righteousness. Hotep, hey, this has been Baba Jahi. Till tomorrow, God bless you. Peace.